Many years ago, my wife told me, or called me and said, a man was here today, and he wants to sell us a theory of the books. Great books of Western civilization. And he asked if it would be all right to come this evening. Would you be here? I said, fine, I'll meet him. And this gentleman came, great books of Western civilization. And I looked through the list of books. I said, you have, there's an error here. You don't have the Bible. Great books, and you don't list the Bible? Well, he said to me, we will tell you what we'll do. If you will buy the books, and I wanted them, we'll give you a Bible. I said, all right, that's the Bible. And we got the books, a wonderful set of books, and a beautiful Bible. And then as I reflected, you know, I said, you know, maybe the Bible shouldn't be included in the great books of civilization. It's a different book. It's a higher book. It shouldn't be categorized with the great books of Western civilization. It is above and beyond all of them. Remember Sir Walter Scott? He was a great writer. And when he was dying, his nephew came to visit him, surrounded by many books. Sir Walter said to his nephew, bring the book. His nephew said, but uncle, there are all kinds of books here. Which book? He said, there is only one book. The Bible. What do you think of the Bible? Is it just another book? It is God's holy word. It was written by God and given by God. It is the greatest of all books. What do you think of it? Belshazzar made his mistake by profaning holy things. What do you think of the word of God? There's not another book like it. And don't treat it the way you treat other books. Put it in a place by itself. And my habit is, no book goes on top of my Bible. Now that's personal. But that's what I think of the book. What do you think of it? There's another item that is very, very sacred. Prayer. What do you think of prayer? There was a professor in one of the schools, and he was lecturing to his students, and he said, prayer doesn't work. I don't believe in it. It's nonsense. Don't believe in prayer. And one little student had the courage to say, professor, do you pray? Of course not. Well, then how do you know it doesn't work? Is that rational? Does that make good sense? Are you going to condemn that sacred act of prayer just because you don't want to? The proof of prayer is that it works. What do you think of prayer? Do you pray? It's a sacred instrument. Many years ago, a lady came to me, met her for the first time, and she gave me one of the greatest compliments I ever had in my life. She came on medical business. And at the end of our interview and so forth, she said to me, doctor, I want to ask you a question. I said, yes. Are you a Christian? I said, yes. She said, I thought so. I've never had a greater compliment. Somebody comes in the office and you are discussing medical things and that person can detect that you are a child of God. Well, that's a thrill. I'm sure it must have happened to you. Well, I didn't see her for some time. And one day I met her son. And he said to me, mother has passed about 6 months ago. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear. But she's all right. Now, he didn't believe in prayer. He didn't believe in the Bible. He was a hospital administrator, way up in the clouds somewhere, you know? Those fellas that have so little in their head that they're just lifting up. Oh, that's the trouble for most of these fellas. If the head had some weight in it, bow down. When you see these old fellows with their heads bowed, that's where wisdom is. However, he used to contact his mother by telephone every evening to see how she was. And this evening he called and there was no answer. He decided to go and check on her. He had the key for the apartment. He went in, and what do you think he saw? There was mother at her bedside on her knees, dead. She believed in prayer. Do you believe in prayer? It is a sacred thing. Belshazzar made light of holy vessels. Now, there are many people that don't believe in God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that God is? Some people say there is no God. Well, I like the Bible, you know. Long before these people said there is no God, what did God say? The fool says no God. And I tell you, if you are here and don't believe that God is, you're a fool. Now, don't get angry with me and meet me at the door at the end of the meeting. God said it, see? I didn't say it. But I want to tell you something. I heartily agree. Any man that tells you that God is not, that there is no God, he is a fool. I trust that there are no fools here. Belshazzar made light of holy items. Another sacred item. The Lord's Day, Sunday. When I grew up in New York City, and I mentioned it to the folks last night, if by midnight you had not completed your food shopping, you would starve until Monday morning. Every store was closed. The Lord's Day. But they have changed things in New York City and the better part of the United States, and they have what they call Sunday Blue Laws. And all the stores are open on the Lord's Day. This is not your day. It is not your day off, it's the Lord's Day. Do you respect it as the Lord's Day? A sacred item. What do you feel, and how do you feel about the Lord's Day? How do you keep the Lord's Day? Let me read for you a little piece here that I came across years ago. Now, as I said last night, you have to be careful of these long names and these foreign names. Do you know that's why doctors used to write prescriptions in Latin? So you wouldn't know what they were writing. And sometimes they didn't know either. But you didn't know that they didn't know. Now I'm going to read you a piece here. The title is Morbus Sabbaticus. Now that's Latin. Don't let that bother you. Sabbath illness. Now as I read, you check on yourself. Morbus Sabbaticus is a very peculiar disease. The symptoms vary, but they never interfere with the appetite. It never lasts more than 24 hours. No physician is ever called. It's highly contagious. Now, the attack comes on suddenly on Sunday. There are no symptoms on Saturday night. The patient awakes as usual, feeling fine, and eats a hearty breakfast. About 9 a.m., the attack comes on and lasts till about noon. You follow? In the afternoon, the patient is much improved. He's able to take a ride, visit friends, play golf, listen to TV, mow the lawn, and read the Sunday paper. He eats a hearty supper, but just about 7 o'clock in the evening, the attack comes on again. Feel me? You familiar with it? He goes to bed, and Monday morning, he wakes up just as sound as ever, and he goes to work. Now, this ailment is often fatal. Be very careful. Morbus Sabbaticus, Sabbath illness. Illness on the Lord's Day during the hours when his people normally come together. This is the Lord's Day. What do you think of the Lord's Day? Well, we have been speaking in nights past about marriage. What do you think about marriage? I remember some years ago, we were at a clinic, and I said to the nurse in charge, "Now, let us move quickly. This is my anniversary, and I want to go downtown and get a present for my wife." And one of the student nurses heard me, and she said, "Well, how long have you been married?" I said, "Only 10 years. And I see that poor little child now." She pointed a finger and looked at me. "You married to the same woman 10 years? What do you think of marriage? Is it permanent or should it be permanent? These were holy things. And people make little of it. Down in the States, the home is being desecrated. As I think I mentioned to some of the folks yesterday, the American Economic Society has a new definition for family. Any group of people that get together regardless of marriage or anything else and decide they want to live together, that's a family. Are you wondering why families in the States are so broken up? And then the home. Oh, we have this new idea, the home. And with all due respect to the sisters, do you know why they want to get you out of the home? They're just industrializing you. They're making you work. That's all. They just want you for industry. And you come out of the home. Now, I didn't say that sisters shouldn't work. I didn't say that. But the trend is to have women out of the home and then have somebody else raise your child. I don't want that. I don't know what somebody else is going to say to my child. These are all areas of desecration. And then there are some who don't like churches. All those people in the church, they're all hypocrites. Well, that's impossible. You can't have a counterfeit dollar unless you have a real dollar, can you? So everybody in the church couldn't be a hypocrite. There must be some real one somewhere. So don't tell me everybody in the church is a hypocrite. Impossible. You can't have a hypocrite unless you have the real thing. And so instead of looking for the hypocrites, look for the real ones. Don't make your excuse that way. Our sister plays the piano beautifully, see? Now, if I went there, you might be disappointed. In fact, you may want to leave the room. Now, because I can't play the piano, does that mean that every piano is no good and should be broken up? The trouble isn't with the piano, it's with me. And when you see hypocrites, as you call them, in the church, there must be some real ones somewhere. Don't set your eye on the false ones, set your eye on the real ones. Another thing about Belshazzar. We read that he worshipped the gods of silver, stone, and so forth. He worshipped false gods. Who's your God, my friend? Who's your God? Who is your God? Well, now, you know, we think of primitive people as worshipping trees and stars, sun, the moon. We say they are backward. Well, now they're not so backward today. We worship automobiles and houses and furniture. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a nice house, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have an automobile, but I am saying you shouldn't worship them. Now, we had a neighbor when we lived in New York. I might have mentioned this a couple of nights ago. I'm not sure. I'll repeat it. Had a beautiful black Lincoln car. And I never saw one man polish one car so many times. Every time I looked at him, he was polishing the car. And he had a little toddler, little child. And one morning I saw this, and it was a Saturday morning. You know how toddlers are. When they walk, they keep their hands out to help them from falling. And if they do fall, at least they have something to support. And here's his car, And here's the little toddler, his child now, coming to the car with hands out. And, get away from that car! Leave that door and forth! Don't touch that car! It's his child, you know. The car was his idol. What is your idol? With all due respect to the sisters, but I've been to some homes where the home and the furniture are the idol. You know, when we went to the museum at school, they would take us and they would say, now, eyes on and hands off. And do you know that there's one sister I think of her now, and every time you went to her house, it was eyes on and hands off. If you touched anything, she'd come and straighten it up. If you sat in the sofa and made a little crease, as soon as you got up, she was straightening it up. That was her idol. Do you have an idol? Who is your God? I remember one time at the lunch table, a group of us were sitting there, and among them was a very learned lady. She was an anesthesiologist, head of the department, as a matter of fact. And we were talking. You know, the conversation with physicians often gets on spiritual things. So we got talking about God. And one man there said, you know, I have my own God. Mm-hmm. He's just a step ahead of me. I said, I don't want him. I need a God that knows everything, a step ahead of me. Oh, no, that wouldn't do. And then this delightful lady said, I have my own God. I need him. Now, this is not some primitive person out there in the woods. This is a trained mind, and she made her own God. Have you made your own God? Or do you worship the only true and living God? And our gods don't have to be furniture and things, you know. Some people, I stand for justice. Justice is my God. I stand for equality. Equality is my God. Now, those things are all nice in their place, but friend, you need the living and true God. And the beautiful thing about it is that he can be your God without any real effort on your part. You know, some people think you have to do some great thing. Naaman thought that. Naaman thought, oh, I should be doing some great thing. You mean just go and dip in that little dirty Jordan River? Well, we have big rivers where I came from. Why can't I dip in a big river? And he had some wise servants that said, look, master, if you were told to do some great thing, you would do it. Now, how many of us can do a great thing? One of my favorite violinists is Itzhak Perlman. Anybody familiar with him? I tell you, he could play a violin. Now, suppose God said, Arthur Garnes, unless you play like him, you can't get into heaven. I'd never get there. But I'm so glad he made it so easy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And God the Father will be your God. Is he your God? He can be, if he isn't. He ignored the God of heaven. But I want you to read something else with me. Let me see. Yes, let's start at verse 18. O thou king, Daniel is speaking to Belshazzar. The Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy grandfather, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. For the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled, feared, and bowed fear before him. Whom he would he slew? Whom he would he kept alive? Whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down? When his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts. His dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him pardon me, with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Verse 22. Thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Belshazzar knew what happened to his grandfather and how God dealt with it, but he ignored God. Now, friend, don't ignore God. And you may say to me, well, I don't know much about him. Well, I'm going to tell you something about it. In fact, I'm going to tell you all you need to know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's all you need to know, and God will be your father, and you'll be born into the kingdom of God. Whosoever believeth. Now I find some people that say, that feel, that in order to be a child of God and to be born into the kingdom of God, some great thing has to happen. Well, now we've all been to marriage ceremonies. And many of the sisters here are already married. Now tell me this, sisters. On the day of your wedding and in the midst of the ceremony, would you want some great thing to happen? An earthquake? A hurricane? Would you want something like that to happen on your wedding day? And yet you stay there, and the marriage officer says so and so and so and so. And finally he says, I pronounce you man and wife, and you don't want any earthquake. You don't want anything to upset that day. Well, it's the same with salvation. It's simply believing God, accepting God, and you don't need a lot of things to happen. I remember years ago I spoke to one lady. She told me she was saved. I said, well, how do you know you're saved? Well, I tell you, when I saw the Lord, things went up and down my back. That's nonsense. When you are getting married, you don't want anything going up and down your back, do you? You simply want those words exchanged, and then you say, I do, and that does it. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. You simply say yes to the Lord. You've heard the story, I'm sure, of Blondin and the Niagara Falls. You're not too far from the Niagara Falls. And this man, as they do in the circus, you know, they walk those tight ropes. Well, he walks across the Niagara Falls from the American side to the Canadian side. Something, I give him credit, but I wouldn't try it. Why, there are the falls, some 250 feet high, and there are crags and all sorts of things on the bottom. All you have to do is slip. But he walked across from the Canadian side to the American side. And then he looked at the crowd. Oh, they were applauding. Bravo! Great deed! And then he said, do you believe that I can walk across the Niagara with a man on my back? Oh, yes, yes. And one fellow was louder than everybody else. And he turned to him and said, would you come up on my back and let me take you across? Well, no, no, I believe, but. Now, you don't take the Lord Jesus Christ that way. You just give yourself to him and let him do the rest. And it's so simple. It's so simple. If you have not done it, if God is not your God, he can be your God this morning. He failed to act on the revealed will of God. Verse 21. I'm sorry, no. Verse 24. Then was the part of the hand sent from him. This writing was written. This is the writing that was written, meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. I want to ask you, friend, do you know how long you have to stay on this earth? Your days are numbered, you know. This may be your last day. It was Belshazzar's last day, and he didn't know it. We've been thinking about, speaking about last things. This was his last day, and he didn't know it. We read on. Verse 27, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel and so forth. In that night, verse 30, was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. I ask you again. Can you tell me when your end is coming? Years ago, I had, as one of my instructors, one of the most brilliant men in New York City. He was a specialist in diseases of the heart and the lungs. Now, you can't do that today. It's either one or the other. You see, the knowledge has increased so that you can't know all about the heart and all about the lung. You have to take one or the other. But he was a specialist in both of them. And he told me this himself. He said, never be too sure. Always be reserved. And he told me why. A mother brought her daughter to him for a physical examination. You know, the examinations just before the school term, to certify that the girl was all right. And he examined her. And he took x-rays and laboratory tests and all sorts of things and signed the form. This young lady may take part in physical education without reserve. Signed it, gave it to the mother, and the mother and the child walked out, and when she got to the door, she dropped dead. Are you going to get out of that door? Prove to me that you are going to get out of that door alive. Prove it. Anybody? Can you prove that you're going to get out of that door? I ask you, are you ready to meet God? Belshazzar wasn't ready, and he was king. But he made the wrong decisions. Oh, friend, don't make wrong decisions. We read, in that night, verse 30, Belshazzar the king was slain. Now let me read you something about Babylon, of which he was king. And you would say to yourself, well, with a setup like this, this man was pretty safe. Let me read for you what Babylon was like. Surrounding the city was a wall 52 miles long. Well, that's how they built cities in those days, with a wall around. The wall was 311 feet in thickness and 80 feet in height. And every few feet there was a watchman. Now that sounds like good protection, doesn't it? A wall that thick. He arranged for the water to come in under the walls so that the city would always have a water supply. And then he had chambers built in the walls so that in case of an enemy attack, they would have food for 20 years. Sounds kind of secure, doesn't it? But that night, he was slain. Now when you go home, you read your history books and find out how they got in there. There is no protection against death when the time comes. And when the Lord says the time is up, the time is up. Are you ready? Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? And we read, in that night, he was saved. Oh, I trust that there's anyone here. And it's your privilege to make up your mind. One of the greatest things that God has given to man is the ability to make up his mind. To make decisions, as we said yesterday. Can you imagine? It is possible for a puny human being to raise his fist and look up in heaven and say to God, no. Yeah. I hope you won't do that. I hope you will just bow to him humbly. I told you about the young girl that died right at the door. I'll tell you about another man. Edward Gibbon, most of you know about him. He wrote that great, great classic, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. It's a great book. It was listed in those great books that I mentioned to you. Oh, he was a great man. But he didn't believe in God. And in 1794, he said to himself, I should live for another 10 or 12 years. I'm young, relatively young and healthy and so forth. Do you know he took ill that night and he was dead before noon the next day? I ask you, friend, how much longer do you have? Do you know how long you're going to be here? Then be wise and take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't do like Belshazzar, who had so much opportunity and he wasted it. I think I've said enough. I hope you'll make the decision. If there's any here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we advise you to take him now while you can. Don't put it off. You don't know how much longer you have. As we said, you don't even know if you're going to see the end of this day. Now we're going to close in prayer. You see, this time I'm on time. See? For all the other meetings I've been keeping folks overtime. But I'm on time this morning, so you come tonight, see? Of course, I can take advantage of that being the last meeting, and I might be overtime. But we'll see about that. We're going to close in a word of prayer, and then sing number 347, Life at Best is Very Brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Friend, if you are here and you are not absolutely sure that you are going to end up in heaven, stay behind and let us explain to you so that you can be sure. You see, I live in Maryland in the States there, county of Rockville, and I always tell the folks, I'm not sure of getting home. I'm not even sure of getting out of here. But don't worry about me. I'll be present with the Lord. How about you? You can be. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we bow in thy blessed presence. We give thee thanks for this occasion when we can come together around thy word. To look into thy word and to be taught of thee. The brevity of life, the uncertainty of life. Oh, that we, each one here, might make a wise decision. Decide for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we may not be foolish as was Belshazzar, knowing what had happened in his past, and he ignored the God of heaven. May there be not one here who would so do. May we all bow before the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and if there be any who have not, may they do so this morning. Let thy favor be upon us, we pray, as we give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 347.